Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for The Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up? Welcome in. This is The Herd, wherever you may be. And however you may be making this part of your day, thanks so much. I'm Doug Gottlieb, filling in for Colin Cowherd. Colin's back from Italy next week. Stuck with me today and tomorrow. Just guessing. There'll be a lot of Italy food references. Maybe some terrible Italian takes when Colin returns. Nonetheless, Always good for him to get away. I was thinking about something I heard yesterday from Sean Marks, and the long cut is the better cut because there's a reasonable question to ask, and there's a thoughtful answer given. So, while we watch the Milwaukee Bucks, who came from behind to take on the Boston Celtics, we watched the Celtics, who, of course, they've been to the conference finals before. They've had early exits in the playoffs. They were the ones who beat the Nets. We watch the Phoenix Suns, a team who, up until really the bubble, 2.5 years ago, like, this is a franchise that had acquired some quality players, and then they got Chris Paul, and everyone, myself included, was like, I love Chris Paul, but it feels like he's at the end, and I like their players, but man, do they have time to get this thing going and learn how to win? And remember, they were the hottest team in the bubble, and then last year the finals, this year the best record in the West, and here they are. And the Golden State Warriors, that just, while they're bad yesterday, the Warriors, the Grizzlies, like, it looks like a team. Now, I'd be fair and tell you that the Nets, it's impossible to really know what they have. You know, you didn't have Joe Harris, who's a great shooter and actually has positional size. You never had Ben Simmons, and so you couldn't really have the type of versatility offensively and defensively. And, you know, those top-heavy teams, when you have three guys making all the money, you know, you're just one guy goes down, and you're not going to be the same. And there's some flaws in their construction, right? You have Patty Mills. You can't go and get Seth Curry because now the two guys are just too small. It's hard enough to play one small player in the NBA. Go look. It's almost impossible to play a guy who's 6'2 or below unless he's Marcus Smart and he's just tougher than a $2 steak. You know? You already have Kyrie Irving. You add some. So there's some flaws in construction there. But Sean Marks is a guy who, of course, played as a journeyman in the league, part of that Spurs organization. And if you want to be critical of what they put together, you have to also give them a little credit for what was initially built. You go back before they landed Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, and the Brooklyn Nets were actually the model for many rebuilding teams around the league. That they had kind of cobbled together some really nice young pieces. They had incredible culture. They played for each other. They played analytics basketball as well. You know, they didn't take tough twos. It was threes and layups. And they were basically a 500 team that made the playoffs. And the thought was, hey, if they could add maybe the right thing or two. What's happened since? They signed Kyrie Irving, and almost immediately, he didn't want to play for Kenny Atkinson. Kyrie Irving, the first year he's in Brooklyn, if you remember, he was quoted as saying, these guys are good, but we'll have better players on the way. Right? The rest of the league maybe didn't like any individual players, but the way they played together. And here Kyrie kind of crapped all over it, right? Hey, you got your culture and your players, that's fine. Better dudes along the way. Then, of course, there was the bubble combined with Kevin Durant's injury, and Kyrie basically refused to go to the bubble. Showed no support for his teammates. No support for even the league playing in the bubble. I mean, he talked about starting his own league. Then they named Steve Nash, a former player, and oh yeah, by the way, one of the close friends of the general manager. And he immediately says, we don't really need a head coach. Heck, you even fast forward to the end of this year when Kyrie Irving in his postseason press conference says, man, I really can't wait to get together with the owner, the GM. No mention of Steve Nash in terms of the future of the franchise. We hadn't really heard from Sean Marks. Here's what he had to say when he was asked about the future of Kyrie Irving with the Nets.
Is the organization committed to Kyrie long term?
Yeah, look, I think that's something we've been discussing and we will continue to debrief on and discuss throughout this offseason. And it's honestly not just Kyrie. I mean, you bring Kyrie up, but we have decisions to make on a variety of different free agents throughout our roster. We haven't had any of those discussions yet, so it would be unfair for me to comment on, you know, how it looks with us and Kyrie, because to be quite frank, he has some decisions to make on his own, what he's going to do with his player option and so forth like that. But I think we know what we're looking for. You know, we're looking for guys that want to come in here, be part of something bigger than themselves, play selfless, play team basketball, and be available. And that goes not only for Kyrie, but for everybody here.
This is one of those, somebody asks you, are you going to get married? And you've been dating for 3 years. And the non-answer is, of course, the answer, right? It's the, you know, I haven't ruled out Mary, but haven't ruled out. That's the answer. But even more so, the end of that answer was really telling. Need to be available. Kyrie Irving's hurt every year. Or there's always something. Look, if it was just the vaccine and the rule in Brooklyn where he couldn't play home games, that's one thing, right? The vaccine talk brought out the crazy in everybody. It just did. You know, it's a lot like the Trump presidency. It just, it brought out the crazy in both sides. I get it. If this was a standalone only issue, but it's not. From flat earth to we don't need a coach to these players, we'll have a bunch of new players when we actually want to be good. To what happened in Boston, I want to stay, then he's out, then he blames Boston for all the issues in Boston. You even go back to Cleveland and wanting out from LeBron because LeBron was ready to move on after they won the NBA title. And then you factor in all the injuries. And again, if it was just the vaccine thing, you could have gone, look, man, a lot of people have really passionate feelings about it. It became divisive. I don't necessarily give you a pass, but I understand. But there's a clear pattern there. And then you factor in, when asked about Kyrie, he talks about playing for others. When asked about Kyrie, he talks about culture. He's telling you all you need to tell you. And I think the really hard part is that Sean Marks, you know, he built a house. And then, and everybody's seen this before, somebody buys a house and you're like, man, great location. Love the yard. Like the layout. You know, you just go through and you clean up, redo the kitchen, do a little backsplash, you know, go into the bathrooms, replace the vanity, paint the whole house. You know, basically it's the same structure. You just freshen it up. You know, cosmetic redo. That's what. When you're a 500 club and you got great culture, you got a great location in New York and in Brooklyn, the Knicks were at that point a disaster. Nobody wanted to consider going there, even though they had all the money in the world. Remember what's real. And then people will come in and they'll screw up a house, right? Well, you know, I want a modern farmhouse with sort of a contemporary feel. The furniture doesn't kind of match, and you just kind of have new projects to have new projects to have new projects. You go through multiple contractors. And a couple years later, you walk in, you're like, this house had so much potential. And now it's just a mess. Right? Now it's just a mess. It's not a modern day farmhouse. You know, it's not a mid-century modern. It just, you know, somebody put a Roman statue up in the front. And you just keep trying to throw lipstick on a pig, if you will. And I think Sean Marks is probably trying to say, hey, look, we built this thing. We built it the right way. And we screwed it up. And how'd they screw it up? They bit the apple. Right? They bit the apple. It's the biblical reference. Adam and Eve. Don't bite the apple. What you're doing was building and growing and getting better. And maybe organically you can end up getting a star, but it's got to be the right guy. You know, Jay Wright retired, what, a couple weeks ago now? A couple weeks ago, right, with Villanova. And Jay Wright's an incredible coach. I don't know if he's going to coach again. I do get a sense that maybe he gives it a shot of coaching in the NBA. Maybe not, because what they built at Villanova was an unbelievable culture. But what many people forget is that, you know, he made the Final Four in 2016. Excuse me, he made the Final Four in 2009. And after finally getting that program rolling, winning 30 games, he went out and got the best recruiting class in the country. The best. And what happened? A couple years later, they went 13-19. And it wasn't because those players weren't good players. They didn't fit the program. They didn't fit the coaching style. They didn't fit the culture. So they scrapped it. They redid it. And he built a program that won 33, 35, 32, 36, 26, 24, and 30 games. That's what they did. And if you ask Jay Wright, they have an expression there, OKGs, our kind of guys. The Brooklyn Nets were built culture and Spencer Dinwiddie and Caris LeVert and You know, some of these other players that they're not necessarily top end players, and you're going to need a star or two if ultimately you want to win an NBA championship. But you can't do it at the cost of your culture. And you cost your culture when you bite that apple. Right? Adam and Eve, they told, don't bite the apple. Like, you thought you knew more than Brooklyn? Like, Brad Stevens is a pretty smart guy. Danny Ainge is a pretty smart guy. And I know that I am filling in for Colin, and Colin is all about aggressive teams and aggressive teams and aggressive teams. Like, that's great. The Nets were aggressive, weren't they? They went out and got the two best dudes you can possibly get. Kyrie Irving, basketball talent-wise, there are few people who have ever laced up a pair of sneakers and brought the ball up court who have the type of talent. Kevin Durant, I mean, that guy's he's an unstoppable scoring machine who does – he wants to win. He wants to help people get better. He wants to play defense. He's played his best – at the very top of the NBA. He stared down LeBron James. He was the better player in two different NBA finals. And even coming off of injury, before he tore his Achilles tendon that one half, he was the best player on the floor in those NBA finals with Kawhi Leonard. You couldn't have gotten two guys with better resumes who are friends. And they completely destroyed everything. And then you went out and got James Harden. Brooklyn bit the apple. Right, the reason we study history is to not repeat it. And this is biblical history. And you can hear the frustration in Sean Marks' voice and the hearkening back to a former day, an older day, when the Nets were the model of how to rebuild a franchise. And he knows that he had the location, he got the owner with the money, they had the arena, they had the vibe, and they screwed it up. And the question is, do you go back down to the studs? Do you just rework the design? What do you do now? But there definitely has to be kind of a little bit of, not just remorse, but almost mourning for what has been lost with the Nets, considering where they were just a couple years ago. All right, coming up next, John Middlecoff will join us. What do we make of Jimmy Garoppolo still being on the Niners and this talk of Trey Lance being underwhelming? We'll discuss it upcoming next in The Herd.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Doug Gottlieb in for Colin. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be making us part of your day. Thanks so much. Let's bring in John Middlecoff, 3 and Out podcast. Lots to talk about NFL-wise. Before we get to that, I honestly, like, I'm watching last night, and I can't think. I'm just trying to think. Like, look, this is one of the things that's really hard about the NBA, which is how can you lose by 40? How can you lose by 40? I bring up because Middlecoff's a NorCal guy, and the Warriors just got eviscerated last night. That was crazy. That's one of the more. It wasn't just the outcome; it's the way in which it happens. The complete and thorough domination of the Warriors. That was shocking, alarming, and one of these, well, we'll get him next time. Like, will you? Will you get him next time? Because that was a stunner. All right, we got a lot to get to in regards to the NFL as well. The schedule's going to drop today. But what happened to your Warriors last night?
Just mailed it. Mike Brown dialing it in, already getting ready for the Sacramento Kings.
Okay. I mean,
I know. I don't know. I mean, ran into a buzzsaw. They clearly, I mean, let's face it. They haven't played well now in two games. I mean, it was the last couple minutes of what would it have been, game four? I mean, the Warriors looked like crap in game four, and that was at home. And then they had that crazy like end of the game. Dylan Brooks shot him out of it, and Steph scored. You know, had one of his crazy 18 points in 5 minute type deal. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's honestly a little scary. I mean, it's. One thing, you know, I mean, you know this better than anybody. You know, the playoffs and just big-time basketball, obviously it's about your stars, but who made the biggest play in the Celtics game? A role player. And now the Warriors, Otto Porter got hurt. Gary Payton got hurt. Yep. You start losing role players. They should still win this series with Jai out, but I don't know, man. I don't really see a championship on the way.
No, I especially based upon how they played recently, I do think they need Gary Payton back. And I'm not sure that extending the series isn't the worst thing because it gets more ball for Clay, but that wasn't good.
Well, one thing with Memphis too is when they when Jaw's out, they do, if they're playing well, they do spread the ball around and play like
It's the Warriors, and obviously they're not the Warriors, but it's the Warriors pre-Durant and the Warriors now as opposed to with Durant. Like, no question Durant was the best dude on that team, but it's a very different style of basketball. One is different to defend, and then two, it's those guys, I'm sure, enjoy playing. You play harder on defense when you touch the ball on offense. You just No matter how much you like Ja, if you're just watching him go one-on-one and do his thing, like, you're kind of just sitting there standing waiting for the ball to come to you, and that's not the way they played otherwise. I want to ask you about Tom Brady, and I pointed this out when the deal came down, that I'm not sure people understand the 180 that's happened public perception with Brady. Right after Deflategate, he was not popular. Like, this is a guy, he was, that was the evil empire of the NFL. And as much as people have never really appreciated maybe Belichick, and because of the dryness, because he doesn't give you anything, Brady was like his consigliere. You know, he's very much a part of that thing. And after the divorce with the Patriots, between social media, traditional media, winning a Super Bowl, getting white boy wasted at the victory parade, like, he's done everything right. But when he's named the highest paid broadcaster, having never called a game in his life, doesn't that signify an incredible 180 in terms of public perception?
Yeah, I mean, I never had a problem with Deflategate because I thought it was kind of stupid. But,
yes,
you know, clearly people already hated the Patriots. They had things going on forever about cheating, and that was the icing on the cake, and then he got suspended. But you're right. I mean, he's played social media perfectly, where I think most people would have thought he was old and out of touch. And, you know, it's not like he's making the videos, but still, like, he has a huge hand in it. I think one thing Tom does a good job of, and I think Giannis is the king of this, smiles a lot, seems kind of happy. And it's just, I think Peyton really feels like that on TV with Eli. They just feel like happy. You just feel like, I kind of want to hang out with this guy.
Yeah.
Now, have you watched Man in the Arena?
A little bit.
You know, I've watched two or three episodes, and Tom is really good in that. Part of it is because it's unfiltered. It's not regulated. He can swear. And he feels like that's how he would talk if you were in the meeting room with him or in the lunch table with him. He's just being himself. You're not able to do that when you're calling a game. So I think it's going to be difficult. I mean, Romo separated himself by knowing all the plays. Well, he no longer knows all the plays. And now he, to me, can be a little cheesy. I don't think Tom is going to go that route, but I think one thing Tom, like Peyton, hang their hat on, obviously their football knowledge is elite, but they can just act like, God, these guys are cool.
Yes.
And it'll be interesting, because Peyton, I think, said last year, like, one thing I'm not going to do, I don't want to be the guy always ripping players and coaches, which, let's face it, like, that's, you're playing to the fans, and the fans who make this league go, that's how we're all thinking when a guy screws up. We're not acting you to blast people, but really, who, you know, when a guy's playing bad, which is usually the quarterback, or the coach does stupid things, that'll be interesting for Tom. Because here's the other thing, even way more than Manning, like, his first, let's just say, month on the job, who knows when the hell that'll be, but let's just say he's calling, you know, the Cowboy game, and he were to say something about Dak, like, I don't see it. Can you imagine next day? I mean, it'd be the number one story in football. Right? I mean, whatever he says specifically about superstar players. So I think it's going to be very, very interesting to see how he does that, which I don't expect him to be Mr. Critical. And he's not going to be allowed to kind of swear and be a guy's guy. It's going to be interesting.
I would only combat that with, and I agree with you.
You know, he's going to have to kind of be his, like, broadcast self, not his normal self.
No question. I mean, it should be pointed out that in the NFL, like, who has called the top level games, who's ever been truly critical, especially the quarterbacks. Right?
I'd say Aikman got back to his roots this year. You know, he just started being harder on people. But I'm with you. Like, they're not, like, blasting people. But I think Romo has kind of gone the other way. I mean, he's universally loved. It kind of feels like he's cheesy now.
Yeah, and there are some things that you get away with early on, you know, that you over-talking and mumbling and not letting the play breathe, that it becomes when it's not interesting and it does become.
I guess what I'm saying about Tom is literally everything he says is a story and a headline, and I don't think that's necessarily going to change once he retires and is calling a game with Burkhart. So it's gonna,
That's the brilliance of getting him though, right? That's the brilliance of getting him is that you went from
great. Yeah,
I mean it's. Like, I completely agree there. It is weird, though, that, like, a couple months ago, he was going to retire to spend more time with his family, and now he's going to be gone every weekend.
Has any human alive ever hated retirement more than Tom Brady?
Favre, there's lots of, you know, there's lots of dudes that
But Favre didn't work after he quit. Like, Tom just can't even think about ever being retired. He needs something in his life.
Yes, and he needs it to be football, and football is a way of with all his other businesses and all his other. Now he keeps looking younger, so he's going to look like a teenager by the time he calls these
looks
games.
Fantastic.
So, I'll have whatever he's having. Wanted to ask you about this story about Trey Lance being underwhelming. You know that Niners organization. I've known people near where I live. Who work out with him, who throw with him, who are like, yeah, Trey Lance is, you know, working out with other NFL quarterbacks. He's not nearly at their level, but he has other traits and other abilities. And clearly they're pot committed based upon how much they unloaded to get him. What are you hearing about San Francisco and who we assume is now their quarterback?
Yeah, I think it was hard for him in the sense that he was being compared every day to a guy who'd been in the league for 7-8 years, right? Who learned under Brady, who'd been a starting quarterback in the Super Bowl. It's not, you know, Zach Wilson, Trevor Lawrence, Fields, some of these guys get to go to places where there's nothing else, so you're just kind of compared to yourself. You're kind of getting compared to this other starter who's a flawed player, but obviously Jimmy's experience and just knowledge. I also just think he has a lot to work on. I mean, he's a major project. You have the mechanics of his throwing need to be fixed. He's just not the most, I would say, naturally accurate guy. So there are just things that he's going to have to figure out fast because this next 45 days or however long it's going to be once OTAs really get going this week, it's his show, and he's going to have to prove to the head coach, who's also the play caller, whose offense is literally his family, you know, resume and baby, right? The Shanahan offense is like a family creed. So it's going to be a lot of pressure for spring practice on one guy. And that's fair. I mean, you make a trade like that, you get drafted high. I mean, there's a lot of pressure on Zach Wilson. There's a lot of pressure on Trevor Lawrence, right? All the hype. So it's just, I think it just comes with the territory. And to me, I'm not a huge, like, live in the past guy with super young players. Like, who cares? Like, your time is now, you know, and it's, you can prove it. You have, you know, Debo's eventually going to show up. Kittle, Ayuk, your coach, they had a million running backs. There aren't any excuses. So I don't really worry too much about last year because it's not they like the guy. And to me, his character and his work ethic and just in terms of his intelligence, all that stuff I've heard is good. So if you have that as a young player, you should naturally improve if you just work hard. And I haven't heard anything about his work ethic not being great.
I don't love taking like one clip on social media and making a grandiose statement about it. But of course, I'm going to contradict myself and do it. Doug Gottlieb in for Colin. This is The Herd. I saw a clip.
They tweeted it out though, right?
The Tua Tagovailoa?
Is that what you're about to talk about?
Yes. Yeah. Are we talking about the same thing?
It's not like a fan put it out. The team put it out. So it's
right.
Like, fair
so for people who didn't see it, the Miami Dolphins on their team account put out a video, a highlight of Tua throwing a ball to the cheetah, right? To Tyreek Hill. And the two easy things to pick up on were, one, it wasn't quacking, but it wasn't exactly Warren Moon, right? Like the best spiral in the history of football. Additionally, it was badly underthrown, and Tyreek Hill basically had to stop and wait for it. Again, without making a gross assessment based upon one tweeted out highlight, the idea of getting the fastest great receiver in the history of the sport with a quarterback who can't seem to throw the ball far enough for him, does that all work?
Yeah, if I was going to defend, I'll start with a positive. I don't – would I love to have super tight Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady spirals? Of course. But as Peyton Manning says, like, he was king of ducks. So you can – Phillip Rivers. Like, you can throw non-spirals if you're really accurate. Now, I think you watch Tua, you go, he's not Mr. Accurate. And clearly the deep ball – the problem for him is going to be is we've seen Tyreek Hill at the peak of his powers dominate. Hall of Famer, right? Like, in his 4 or 5 years with Patrick Mahomes – as good as you get as a deep. He's like the greatest deep threat of all time. So when you do a still shot on him catching the football, I saw someone post on Twitter, like, is this guy receiving a punt or catching a pass? and listen, like, that's just a reality, is that it's going to be hard to do that play action, seven step drop bomb with a guy that we've seen. Hell, we've seen Patrick Mahomes overthrow the guy. Let alone all of the sweet plays have been him running under the football. Do you know what I think the elephant in the room is? Is Tom going to be the starting quarterback there next year? Like, that to me is Tua. Like, to me, when we talk about Herbert or Burrow, we're going, God, could these guys be one of the, you know, Mahomes, or is Lamar going to really just be the first, you know, be guy to sustain as a running quarterback? We talk about Tua, like, can he be a starter? You know, not can he be a good player. Not can he be a top 15 player. Can he just be a starter? And that's what we're all thinking already. You know, the owner, they already know they passed on the wrong guy. So you got a new coach. And, hell, we don't even know. I'm rooting for the coach, but he's never called plays. You know, he's obviously never been a head coach. There's a lot of – you acquire a guy who's been just an elite player. I mean, we've seen Tyreek in the biggest games dominate. I mean, last year there were several games, that Bills game, the Charger game, where he just basically said, yeah, I'll take over. I'll make sure we do not lose the
Super Bowl. They don't win the Super Bowl if anybody other than Tyreek Hill's playing.
He's an all-time great talent. And if he doesn't look right, he ain't going to get blamed. Even if he is slipping or whatever, and the reason the Chiefs traded him, their quarterback's going to get blamed. And you feel it literally on their first practice, which I see a lot of people like, we're overreacting. The team put it out. So when the team puts it out, I'm putting that one on the Dolphins. You can't put out that video. Like, there's probably a million other videos from practice that no one would even have noticed. You put out that one, I mean, that's an all-time misstep by, you know, the University of Miami grad that's a social media intern.
Yeah, that's the other part to it, which is, and this happens all the time, right? The lowest paid guy in the totem pole affects the perception of everybody else. Jarvis Landry, Odell Beckham Jr., there's some big-name dudes that are out there on the market. If you're the Packers, are one of those veterans the type of guy you want to bring in because you got all these kind of young, unproven guys? You got a couple young, unproven guys?
Well, you know, a big-picture thing with the Packers, and I understand why Aaron the last couple years was like, I'm not coming, especially last year, go to Hawaii, drink some Mai Tais. And I haven't seen, you know, is Aaron going to show up this offseason? Because to me it's kind of important with all these new guys. Sure. And if he does, then you can get a pretty good feel for, you know, we're going to be okay, right? Or we're going to need something. To me, if he's not there and you're running all these practices with Sammy Watkins and this new kid from, you know, North Dakota State, Watson and Randall Cobb, it's harder to get a grasp of what you need with Jordan Love playing, because it's not going to look as good. So there's just so much unknown. To me, if Aaron shows up, you just now have been that executive and head coach, you know, have been together, you know, with that operation now for a while. They'd have a pretty good feel. Now, I would rather have Jarvis Landry than Randall Cobb, but that's part of the deal with giving, you know, Rodgers the, you know, LeBron James level power. He might not want that. The other thing in Jarvis specifically, you know, you saw Bobby Wagner, who actually didn't get as much money as it sounded like on social media, but Honey Badger did. You know, Honey Badger got like $18 million guaranteed. So yep. Some of the times these older, I mean, they're not that old. They're like 30 years old or 29 or 31 or whatever. But they're used to making, you know, $10, $11 million. They're getting some of these offers probably from some of these teams. They're like $3, $4 million. And so they're like, screw you, I'll wait. So I wonder if Jarvis thinks that there's a team out there willing to pay him. And there might not be. But if you're the Packers and you do have to pay a little bit, I want to find out for sure, like, what does Aaron look like with some of these new dudes?
Last thing, who wins the PGA?
Phil? Defense? No. You know, I mean, Scottie Scheffler, I mean, every time you bet against him,
he keeps winning. Have you mentioned on your pod, or as Colin mentioned, Phil reported losing $40 million over 4 years in gambling.
Well, this guy, Alan Shipnuck, the guy that covers and writes about golf, wrote a book on
Phil.
Yeah, I know. And from 10 to 14, he lost $40 million gambling.
$40 million. Like, somebody tackle the dude and take his phone away. Huh?
Yeah, I mean, I think he gambles on the NFL, right? I mean, I think
supposedly college basketball, like you don't lose $40 million betting on one sport. You're betting on everything and doing so poorly.
I think part of it probably, like, Phil makes a ton, so maybe to get his juices going on a Duke North Carolina game, he has to bet $100,000. Well, you start betting some of these six figure bets, all of a sudden you're losing. You start betting like a big seven figure bet, right? And then it's pretty easy to find yourself in a hole. And especially when you're betting Phil's units. And, I mean, he's notoriously, like, I mean, he did it, I guess, quote-unquote, legally. But he's like the Pete Rose of golf. I mean, this guy is addicted to gambling, which I kind of like. But,
except then you do, can I at least wonder when you've had these late collapses at Opens in the past? Can I at least wonder?
You think he's throwing them?
I just, I don't think so, but I don't know so. Like, you have bizarre collapses.
Do you think that'd be an all-time story? It's like, why did Phil hit an OB on 18? You know,
Why did he hit a driver off the deck at Wingfoot? Why would you hit a driver off the deck? There's no reason you hit a driver off the deck on your second shot at Wingfoot. No possible reason.
Just aggressive, man.
He's aggressive. John Middlecoff, 3 and Out's the podcast. You're the best. Talk soon.
Better, Doug.
All right, we'll get you the herdline news upcoming next. Plus, why it's not the time for the Celtics next in the Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver. And this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Doug Gottlieb for calling. This is The Herd on Fox Sports Radio, the iHeartRadio app, or wherever you're listening. Thanks so much for being part of the show. Check out my podcast, All Ball. Some good stuff on there. Bill Self interview. We did, I think it was a two-parter with Bill Self. He actually talked about Southern Hills, which is going to host the PGA Championship upcoming next week, and his knowledge and dominance of the course, but why he's not a member. It's pretty good stuff. Let's get to Herdline News.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Ryan Music, what do you got, my friend?
Well, Doug, one of the NBA games in action last night that we laid witness to was the Boston Celtics and the Milwaukee Bucks. The Milwaukee Bucks mounting a comeback, taking a lead in the series. Obviously, a hugely disappointing result for the Boston Celtics, and their head coach, Ime Udoka, talked about that disappointing loss after the game.
Guys are going to be pissed about the outcome. You know, we outplayed them for 3.5 quarters, and so we talked about, you know, showing our resolve. We made it tougher on ourselves now, and it'll make it sweeter when we bounce back, but you know, we gave up a golden opportunity tonight.
Tough loss to swallow for the Boston Celtics, who seemingly had the Bucks on the ropes with a big win in hand, and it just fell right through their fingers.
Well, I mean, if you go back, I mean, you could say if you go back to Game 4, they had a great shot there and couldn't close. But last night is absolutely – when you have home court advantage and in Game 5 you let one like that slip away where you're up 6 – but, you know, the one thing which is really important is, it's the little things. Yes, Drew Holiday made it in a couple incredible plays. The block shot, the steal, Giannis steps up, makes it 3. These things are amazing. But what also should be stated, and it's really, really important, is that they didn't get a rebound. Right? When you're up 6, there were several opportunities. Missed free throw, no rebound. Missed shot, no rebound. It's those little things. And you either do those little things and you win those close games, or you don't. And I just, that is, you have to feel the pain before you taste the champagne. We got to have a little bit of perspective on the Celtics. Am I giving them a pass? No. But you have a coach who's in his first year.
That's a good point. Right?
You have two star players that are not 26 years old. And go look historically at the NBA and Jordan and LeBron and even Giannis, like, you're not winning usually in your – Magic is the only guy, and Bird, those are the only two guys to come in and win in their early 20s. It should also be pointed out that Magic had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar with him, obviously not in Game 7 when they won that first title.
Right.
And Larry Bird, though he took like a 20-win team, made it a 59-win team, he did have Robert Parrish, and he did have some old heads. But those are the two guys. Everybody else had to kind of go through this process of finding ways to lose games that they could win before finding ways to win games that they should have lost. And once you kind of crack that code, like look at Drew Holiday. Now he's playing like a star player because he faked it till he made it, and now he's made it, and now you have the confidence of knowing that you can make plays at the end of the game. You can make shots even when you shoot poorly through the first three quarters.
Yeah, and you know, as you mentioned, even with Michael Jordan, like we saw in The Last Dance, it took years and years and years of coming up short against those Celtics that you talked about. Obviously, the Bad Boys Pistons before he ever came close to what people could consider the greatest player of all time. So a little bit of patience potentially could go a long way. All right, from last night's game to a game coming up tonight, Doug, the Sixers are actually favored by 2.5 in potential elimination game against the Heat. Now, there's a lot on the line, except for the obvious, you know, ending the season. But maybe some questions about Doc if they come up short here. Obviously, what they plan on doing with James Harden and being eligible for an extension. Harden, who's only averaging about 19 a game in the postseason, 40% from the field. Not to mention, in the past, you've always been willing to overlook his defensive shortcomings because his offensive output was just so insane.
Yeah, now you can't overlook it. You know, you can't overlook the fact that he doesn't look like one of those dudes. If you sign him to a Supermax extension, you're signing your death warrant. You just are, because you don't generally get better as you get older. It becomes a slightly lesser version. And when, you know, one game in five, you play like an elite player, the next year it's one game in six in the NBA playoffs. So, I mean, heck, I just saw Amari Stoudemire on television talking about, you know, he wouldn't give him a max contract because of work ethic issues. Remember, Amari worked in Brooklyn with the Nets. And very rarely do you have former players, former coaches, whatever, come out and say those type of things. I think it's pretty obvious what the right answer is. It just the question is, do the Sixers have the lower intestinal fortitude to do it?
It feels like the answer is no, because Harden has been Daryl Morey's guy for, you know, I don't know, 8 years now. You know, the Ben Simmons thing, I don't necessarily know if that's addition by subtraction, but, you know, they gave up some assets to get him, and they kind of feel handcuffed. And we'll wrap it up with this, Doug. A little interesting out of Pittsburgh. Jerry Dulac out of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette was taking fan questions, and he was asked, is there bad blood between the Steelers and Big Ben with how his career ended? And Jerry Dulac said, I would say it's very, very safe to assume that. Interesting.
That there's bad blood between from whose side? The Steelers or from Big Ben's side?
He did not elaborate beyond that, but there's apparently some lingering. I don't see Big Ben as someone who could be difficult to deal with at the end of his career.
No.
That could have
been. I mean, like, look, I'll tell you what I heard from Pittsburgh is that Big Ben did not want it. You know, he spent time in his he actually has a like a hideaway locker room for just him. And that's where he hang out and read his hunting magazines. And he never wanted to turn his back to the defense on play action. That's why they were always in the gun. And that's Ryan Music with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
You know, there's a lot of talk about what to do with the Lakers. Do you trade LeBron? I'll give you the answer next in the Herd.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.